It's great to have you with us again here today at Covenant of Grace Ministry. And this is Covenant Minutes. I'm Reverend Patrick Boston, and we welcome you to this teaching session. We pray that God will bless you in a very special way. As this broadcast of Covenant Minutes, as all our Covenant Minute broadcasts, is a time of exhortation and encouragement to the body of Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have appointed you to be the father of many nations. So Abraham is our father in the eyes of God, in whom he had faith. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that don't exist into existence. When it was beyond hope, he had faith in hope that he would become the father of many nations, in keeping with the promise of God spoke to him. That's how many descendants you will have. Without losing faith, Abraham, who was nearly 100 years old, took into account his own body, which was as good as dead, and Sarah's womb, which was dead. He didn't hesitate with the lack of faith in God's promises, but he grew strong in faith and gave glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. I want to talk to you for a few moments today about attitude that has altitude. Attitude that has altitude. How many times have you flown on an airplane? A couple? Well, the times I've flown an airplane when we have been high up in the sky, I kind of like to get a window seat. Because when I get a window seat, I can kind of look down and see things, especially when we're landing or going up in the sky, you know, at what's going on. And you get a whole different perspective on everything about Earth, the planet, the cities and towns you're flying into and out of when you do that. Well, God has a different perspective, a different view, if you will, considering our lives than we do because he sees the whole picture. He's got the whole big picture in view. And so when he looks at things that we're accomplishing and trying to do for him, as we try to fulfill the call and the vision God has for us in our lives, he sees things from A to Z. When we sometimes are having a tough time getting from C to D or E to F, whatever it might be, you know. And it's in those times when we're trying to get to E to F to G, whatever it might be, that we get discouraged. We have our struggles. And we have our doubts because of things that get in our way. But God wants you to know that he can remove the things or to make a way through the things or around the things in order for you to have victory over that thing. It can be doubt, innuendos, gossip, sarcasm, physically impediments. It can be all sorts of things, but it doesn't have to dissuade you, keep you, or stop you from God's purpose in your life. Amen. If, as Abraham, you are fully convinced of what? His faithfulness. Fully convinced of God's plan. Fully convinced of God's word. But when we hesitate, it short circuits the things of God. It's all right to pause, but don't hesitate. Begin to feel doubt-filled and turn back. Sometimes our evaluations of situations are not very good. We see things darkly sometimes. We don't see things completely. And many times before I make a major decision, I want God's input and as well wise counsel around about me so that I don't do something that I shouldn't be or go in the wrong direction. Because when I've done that in my life, I've got troubles coming my way. Or the vision, the purpose of God gets short-circuited, and then I got to go around this whole other way in order to fulfill the call of God. I don't want to walk through the wilderness. I don't want to have to go around the path. I don't want to have to take a circuitous traveling arc to get to where God wants me to be if it's not necessary, if it's not his will, if there's not a purpose in it. Amen. Our attitude can help us to reach the altitude God wants. Are we faith-filled? Are we praising God? Are we being encouraged? Are we feeding our soul with some things that give us hope? Or are we allowing doubts, fears, innuendos, and everything else to be that which influences us too much? When somebody loses hope, they just want to give up. They just recoil. They just kind of become deadwood sometimes. Hope is something that needs to be kept alive in your spirit. And hope will persevere in your heart and life if you'll allow it to germinate and have root. Everybody wants to be a successful person. The problem is most of us don't want to do what they did in order to get it. We don't want to make the sacrifice. We don't want to have to take the time. We don't want to have to do all that you got to do to be successful. We want it given to us. We want it easy. We want the shortest path. But that's not always what God wants when He has your work to be done in your life that is to be for His glory. Did you know that Lord Nelson, England's famous hero of the sea, struggled with seasickness all his life? Yet this man who sank Napoleon's fleet refused to let his personal struggles rob him of his destiny. Not only did he learn to live with his weakness, he learned to conquer it day by day. There are weaknesses we have. There are shortcomings sometimes we have. We might have physical impediments, whatever it might be. But that doesn't stop the plan of God. That doesn't stop victory in your life. That doesn't stop God fulfilling His promises with you. Don't hesitate at the promises of God. Believe God, and it will be accounted for you as righteousness, even as it was for Abraham. All of us have our battlegrounds. Everybody you meet is struggling at some level. And while nobody pins a medal on us for winning, nothing can diminish the satisfaction of knowing that you didn't quit. You might not get a medal for accomplishing certain things in your life. You might not get a pat on the back. But by not quitting, you're moving on. You're moving forward. You're being equipped. You're being strengthened. You're being encouraged. You're being blessed. You're being anointed. You're being used of God. And you're learning the ropes. I heard about a boy who had lost his right hand in an accident. When the doctor asked him about his handicap, he replied, "I don't have a handicap. I just don't have a right hand." Later, the doctor discovered that he was one of the leading scorers on the high school basketball team. The leading scorers with no right hand. Don't tell me God can't do anything. We all of a sudden, so many times, want God to just take away something or make something work or make something new, when He can take what we are and what we have and make something of it, if we have the right attitude. And if we're willing to pay the price in order to see that which we have a passion for, that which we desire after, be fulfilled. I have a passion for the things of God. I have a passion for the ministry. I have a passion for certain things in life. And when I have that passion, it makes all the difference in the world because I pursue it. I desire after it. But when you lose that passion, when the fire's not in your belly, when things are kind of not, you know, you're just kind of moseying on. It takes a whole different perspective, it takes on a whole different life of itself. The perspective's changed, and we're not looking at things correctly because I'm allowing things to get in the way. Mm-hmm. Because the passion isn't there. The life isn't there. And so I can so easily get disrupted from the path that God has for me. The Bible is a storybook about people who overcame their weaknesses and went on to change history. Why? Because they had a purpose. Remember Nehemiah when he showed up to Jerusalem and was determined to build that wall? And in the midst of the ruins, motivated God's people to pursue the things of God. He rallied them, organized them, and 52 days later, they washed off their trowels, stowed the gear, and walked away from a newly finished wall, How did he do it? Well, there's a couple things I want to mention to you here in closing, and I want you to recognize these as steps you can take in your life or the right attitude you can have in order to see the victory of God in your life and to fulfill the call of God in your life. One, he had a passion. He could hardly sleep at night for picturing the problem and seeing himself solving it. That's what it takes. He didn't just see the problem. He saw the solution. He saw the solving of the problem. You know, if you can't go to bed at night because sometimes you feel God speaking to your heart because there's something hungering in your soul, hey, talk to God. Be alone with God. Take out that time to be holy. Take out that time to get with God. You need that within your heart and life. And that's kind of what Nehemiah had. A hunger for the things of God. Two, he could motivate others. What good is your leadership if you can't move others to action or get anybody to follow you? A good leader knows how to motivate and to do so in a way that is not just expeditious and prosperous for themselves, but benefits those around about him. Benefits those around about him. A proper shepherd, a good leader, does just that. Third, he had confidence. He may have doubted his own ability, but he never doubted God's. His book is full of prayers, silent ones, short ones, specific ones. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. Prayer can make all the difference in the world. All-night prayer meetings, short prayer meetings, remembering God here and there, speaking the word of God. It all can help you to build up your faith, renew your confidence in God, and fulfill the vision God has given you. Four, he refused to give up. From the time he started mixing the mortar until the day he hung the last gate, his attackers never let up, but he took it. Sarcasm, suspicion, gossip, threats, false accusations, you name it, nothing could move him. It didn't matter what it was. Nehemiah was going forward. They were going to finish this. They were going to get it done. They were determined. They didn't hesitate at the promises of God. Abraham didn't hesitate. He was fully persuaded of God's word and didn't hesitate at the promises of God. Don't hesitate. Don't allow yourself to become doubt-filled. Trust God and his plan for you. Five, he was realistic. He had some of the workers building the wall while others stood guard against attack. He acted without overreacting. He was gracious but unbending. Winners don't just have their head in the heavenlies. They get their feet planted firmly on the ground. They come up with a battle plan. They get operational. They see things through. They take what God has given them and say, okay, what do I got to work with? Don't just sit there and wait for God to drop it down from the sky and say, here it is. Come on, work with what God's given you and see what the Lord's going to do and come up with a plan. Six, he had the discipline to finish the job. Winners are finishers. When the job loses its luster, they don't go somewhere else. They stay at it in season and out. Success is an attitude. Success is an attitude. And winners never quit. Winners persevere. Winners press on. You know, you can't lose if you don't quit. You can't lose if you don't quit. Satan's going to get awful tired of you if you just keep on coming forward. Hey, stay down. Stay down. I've already hit you. I've already knocked you down. You're bleeding all over. Come on, just give up. What good is this God business anyway for you? Hey, I'm going to get up. As long as I got breath, I'm going to keep on serving God. No matter how many times you knock me down, devil, I'm going to keep on getting up. I'm going to keep on pursuing the call that God has given me. Come on, don't you see what's happening to you? You're just falling apart there. You're bleeding all over. You're in pain. Eyes not seen nor ear heard all that the Lord has prepared for them that love him, devil. Amen. God is faithful. I don't know what battle you're going through. I don't know what circumstances. I don't know what it seems like in your circumference of life right now. But I know that my God loves you, and I know he has a plan for you, and it's good. I said it's good. And God cares for you and he cares for me. And I know there are things in my life right now where I feel like I've been a little bloodied up. I've been knocked down a few times, but I've been around here enough to know, hey, I've got to keep on pursuing. I've got a passion in my heart and soul, and I want to fulfill the purpose of God. Do you? Your attitude can make all the difference in the world. Your attitude will either allow you to soar as an eagle, to fly and see the work of God be done, and to see God's work be done and see outside the window of your airplane the beautiful visage of what God has planned for you. Or you can stay grounded, never getting lift off, never moving forward, and just kind of dealing with what is right here, right now. And say, well, this is good enough for me. There's a lot of Christians that have said, well, it's good enough for me. But is it God's best for you? Is it his plan for you? Get a hunger for prayer. Get a hunger for the things of God. Get a hunger for the church of God. Get a hunger to be with fellowship with God's people. Get a hunger for the word of God in your life today. Amen. God bless you, and I pray that God's word has made an entrance into your heart today and that your attitude will soar to the altitude God wants it to. In Jesus' name, amen.